Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining tonight's show. This is T-Fizzle Radio. I have my two co-hosts on the line. I have Miss Sunshine, and I have Miss another T, T from Minnesota. So can you guys go ahead and introduce yourselves? Sunshine first. T?
Good evening. My name is Miss T. I'm calling in from Minnesota.
How you doing?
All right. And the sunshine still there? Sunshine? Oh, she must not be there right now. Okay, well, anyways, we're going to go ahead and start the show here. Tonight's topic, we're talking about teen pregnancy, sex, virginity, STDs, AIDS. We're talking about all of the above. Because I get a lot of questions on YouTube pertaining to sex, virginity, and when kids, you know, a lot of kids don't feel right talking to their parents for whatever reason. I understand that because I went through that as well. So sometimes I get a lot of questions about these particular topics. And I'm also seeing kind of like a disturbing trend of where, you know, a lot of us who are young moms are out here not taking proper care of our children. And a lot of these children are out here behaving any type of way. And a lot of that is due to the mothers being so young. So we're going to hit all that on the head. So I guess we can start off by just talking about, you know, why so many kids nowadays are into sex and having sex at such an early age. Is there a particular reason why you think they're out here doing all that, T?
Well, hey, everyone. This is Sunshine from Philly. I was on the phone. I was having some technical difficulties, so I just wanted to introduce myself.
Oh, I'm glad you're back.
Thanks,
Lovely C.
Thanks, Lovely C, for having me on your show again.
You're welcome. Well, right now we're talking about why kids are out here having sex at the rates that they're having sex. And somebody in the chat room said that a lot of it is due to the media. And I definitely agree with that. What do you guys think?
Absolutely. They've been watching all these, exposed to so much, the videos, the rappers are making, you know, exploiting women. And, well, some of these women nowadays are exploiting themselves by allowing them to go on TV and be in these video shoots. So they're now so revealing. Everything is, you know, directed towards sex.
Exactly. Now, I want to ask you on the chat room, who has watched that new Trey Songz video, I Invented Sex? I saw it today. And the video is so graphic and freaky that it's been flagged on YouTube. Now, for it to be flagged on YouTube, now you know it's something serious. If y'all have not seen it, check it out. It is, the girl looks like she's about to give Trey Songz head. He looks like he's about to eat her out. He's between her thighs singing. It's just overly graphic. He's kissing on her breast. And I'm not trying to be super graphic on here, but I'm just keeping it real. The video, yeah, Playing With Ice. Thank you, RBM, she said in the chat room. I felt like the video was way over the top, especially for 106 in part. I'm a fan of Trey Songz. I like, you know, most of his music, but that video, to me, I don't want my son looking at that video. I don't think that really young kids should watch that, but they played on 106 in Park, and it looks like he was having sex with that girl, literally. If y'all have not seen it, he's looking at her boobs, everything. And,
wow.
Exactly. So my thing is, it is, and that's what a lot of people were saying in the comments on YouTube, is that it was soft porn. You know, like even little kids, because I was, you know, I was looking at the comments and I was going and clicking on the people's pages, and a lot of these kids were 12, 13, 14, and they're like, oh, my gosh, that looks like soft porn. That's what everybody was saying. The video has been flagged. And my thing is, we're so busy wondering why these kids are out here having sex, but you have these images being perpetuated to children at early ages. Like someone said, it's being played on 106 in Park. You can request it on 106 in Park. And to me, that was an adult video. And that's something for the club, not for the classroom.
Wow.
The video's off the chain, real talk. Like, I was just watching it, and I felt kind of bad watching it, because I'm like, this is like porn. Like, you know, it really was, you know, and just the song itself is really freaky. Yeah, the video's off the chain. So why do you all think, besides the media, a lot of kids are out here having sex?
Well, definitely a lack of parenting, I believe, and peer pressure, as we've heard so many times, but, you know, that's two big things, I believe.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, I
definitely think too.
Yeah.
Because if they're not being taught what sex is about, kids are curious, and they're like sponges. They want to soak everything up, and they're just plain curious, wanting to know, what is this thing called sex everybody's so hyped up about that only adults should be doing? Well, these kids nowadays think they're grown, so that's what they want to do.
Exactly.
See what adults are getting into.
A lot of adults are putting adult responsibilities also on the child, too. So the child gets mixed messages mm-hmm. when they have to be grown up or when they have to have a grown-up responsibility. And if I have to have these responsibilities, well, why am I not responsible enough to have sex and make other
If you're at home by yourself, you're being forced to watch your brothers and sisters, you know what I'm saying, stuff like that, and I definitely agree with that. And another thing, I had did a video a few days ago. It was called 14. It was called A 14-Year-Old and a 17-Year-Old. I had gotten a letter from one of my subscribers. He was 17, and his girlfriend was 14, and I guess basically he was getting scared because he was getting ready to be 18, you know, what's going to happen to the relationship once he turns 18. But a lot of people were upset, and they were saying, well, a 14-year-old ain't got no business having sex. Neither one of them have any business having sex. I agree with that, but the point is you can chastise a child and say that they shouldn't do something, but they're still going to do it. So instead
right.
of just sitting here trying to be blind to the fact, like, you know, oh, my child will never have sex, and then a year from now when your child is knocked up, then what you going to say? So instead
right.
of just assuming that your child is not out here doing anything, talk to your children because it's real
Educate
out here.
Them.
It's so easy to be out here getting pregnant. You know what I'm saying? AIDS is rampant. STDs are rampant. You got young boys going to prison because they're 17, sleeping with 14-year-olds, even though they're in the same high school together. You know, they're throwing the book at a lot of these young boys, so we have to talk to our kids about everything, the laws regarding sex, the STDs, what can happen. Because my one friend, we were talking today, she got pregnant at 17, her very first time having sex. She got pregnant. The guy who she had sex with, she thought it was going to be her first, you know, it was like the guy she fell in love with. He ended up lying. He was married, and he was 6 years older than her. She got pregnant
her first time.
So that's the thing. Kids are curious, but they don't realize, okay, I'm giving myself to this man, but there's so many repercussions that can happen, you know what I'm saying, when you are having sex. And I think, too, when you're young, you think you're invincible. Like I've told y'all before, I was a teen mom. So I got pregnant at a young age. And when you're young and you're acting older than what you should be acting, you know what I'm saying, you out here, you know, trying to be grown, you don't think about birth control. You don't think about stuff like that. You think it will never happen to me. And that's
right.
what I want to talk to the young girls about. You know what I'm saying? I've been in that situation. You're not missing nothing at 14. It's okay to be a 14-year-old virgin. You know what I'm saying? Just because they're making it look like it's cool to have sex on TV and on BET and on, you know, these videos, you're not missing nothing. That's what I want a lot of my young subscribers to realize. You know, people are so gung-ho trying to grow up so fast, but it's hard to get back those years. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like if you can hold off and save yourself for somebody who really wants to truly be with you, that's what you need to do. It's a lot of pressure out there. It really is, and it's hard, you know what I'm saying, to maintain your virginity. Believe me, I've been through that, but it's so worth it, you know what I'm saying? I got pregnant at 18. It's hard. It really is hard being a young mother. T, you can speak from experience because you were pregnant even younger than I was. We grew up together next door, you know, so it's like we went through the same thing. Even though she had her child, 2 years before I had my son, it still didn't click. You know what I'm saying? It's like my homegirl is up here, 15, 16 pregnant? It still didn't click. So it's like, you know, I want to get it out here, and I want to be real with my sons and with my followers and people who listen to my show that it's real. You can get pregnant your first time. You can get pregnant by that guy that you think, you know, loves you, whatever. And it is hard out here growing up. But we have to sit and we have to be real with our kids. We can't sit here and lie and act like, you know, they're just supposed to suppress all these feelings that they're having. What do you have to say about it, too?
And I also think that, you know, a lot of parents forget what it was like to be those ages.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to think that
your 13, child.
You don't want to think
your baby
has sexual thoughts or sexual desires at that age. But truth be told, you did, so why aren't they? You had
exactly.
your kids.
Go ahead.
I was just saying that, you know, parents must keep that in mind that, you know, we were young before and we had these desires and curiosities. So, you know, of course it's going to repeat in our children. And there's way more things exposing our children to sexual acts. And younger kids are saying they're lesbians. And there's just, sex is
mm-hmm.
just, you know, completely out there like it's a pair of jeans, you know, or,
right.
or a CD, you know, and so they're seeing sex, and sex is coming at them from every angle, boys, girls, you know, everything in between. So we must, you know, not only keep our eyes open to, you know, they're having these
sexual desires and sexual curiosities, and then people are coming at them trying to teach them, but we're not. So they're going to learn some way, whether it's from you or somebody doing things with them or, you know, reading it in a book. They are going to learn.
Right.
Yes, all right. That's the truth, you know what I'm saying? You're going to learn it somewhere. Either you can teach it to your child or else you can let your child find out in the back of a bus. And that's the thing. A lot of parents think, well, I'm home. I'm home with my child. Well, you know what? I know a lot of girls who are having sex in the school. So don't think because, you know, you have your child with you at home, don't mean you don't know what they're doing 8 hours a day at the school. You know, there's stories out here, little girls at school giving head, you know what I'm saying, in the gym, you know, in the locker room and stuff like that. So, you know, we really got to, you know, teach our kids to, like, you know, really cherish their bodies and let them know that, you know, everything that glitters ain't gold. Just because a guy is trying to whisper in your ear that he loves you and this, this, and that does not always mean it's true. Sometimes he just wants some, plain and simple. It's not even that he really loves you or wants to be with you or, you know, start a whole relationship with you or marry you. He's just trying to get a nut. Let's keep it real. We need to teach that to our girls and to our guys. You know what I'm saying? We have to make sure that our young boys are responsible. You know, and that's one thing I tell, like, my nephews and my little cousins, you can't sleep with every female out here because some women out here don't respect themselves. You don't want to get with a chick who's been with everyone in the high school. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times we don't hold our boys to that same esteem as we do our girls. It's like it's okay for our boys to be out here schooling whoever, and it's not. A lot of young men are contracting STDs and HIV and things like that as well. So, I mean, I definitely think that we have to teach our children, male or female, to respect themselves and to respect their bodies and to realize, yo, real talk, you're not missing nothing. I'm letting y'all know. Now I see some of y'all in the chat room talking. Some of y'all are virgins. Some of y'all are not. But, you know, if you're still a virgin, you shouldn't be made to feel bad about that. You know, I think that's a good thing, and I don't think that you should be made to feel bad about that. I had gotten a letter from a little girl a few days ago. She's 14. And she's a high school cheerleader. She got jumped by her own cheerleader friends, her so-called friends, because her and her boyfriend took, like, purity vows. And so they decided they're not going to have sex. He doesn't pressure her. They've been together a whole year. Now, y'all can say maybe a 13 and 14-year-old shouldn't be dating, but kids are dating. Regardless if you know it or not, kids are out here dating. You know, people are always trying to say what kids shouldn't do, but kids are still going to do it. But anyway, she's made the decision that she wants to remain a virgin, and so does her boyfriend. Well, the girls on her cheerleading squad are giving her a lot of shit about it. And a few days ago, she had gotten jumped by them because she was still a virgin, and they're making fun of her and everything else. And I told her, really, you know, keep your head up. The reason why they jumped you and they're mad is because they don't gave their virginities away to some knuckleheads who don't care about them, and now they're angry because you still have yours. I said, you and your boyfriend are doing the right thing, you know what I'm saying? Keep your virginity. Focus on school, you know what I'm saying? Sex, you have the rest of your life to have sex. And when she wrote me the next day, she said she went back to school the next day, and she talked to the girls on her cheerleading squad and was asking them, you know, basically telling them basically what I told her, like, you know, I think y'all just mad because y'all lost your virginities and I'm still a virgin. And the girl ended up telling her that was why she was mad, because she regretted doing it. So they felt like if they could pressure her into having sex, then that'd make them feel better about themselves, but she didn't fall into that pressure. You know, I'm here to tell you, know, a lot of little young girls and guys out here, keep your head up. You ain't got to sit here and explain your sex life to nobody. If you're not ready to have sex, because with sex comes a lot of responsibility. So if you're not ready to do it, don't do it. You don't have to explain yourself to anyone. It's no one's business. I'm going to go ahead and take a call. I have somebody calling in from 863 area code. Well, actually, got two calls coming in here.
South Carolina.
ID yourself, 863.
Hey, what's up, brother?
What's going on? Who is this?
It's Elijah.
What's going on, Elijah? How you doing?
I'm all right. Kind of tired. Just got off work. No, I'm just listening to what you're saying. I'm sorry, I ain't.
So what's he thinking about the show so far and kids losing their virginity younger and younger?
I think that's a big issue. But I also think, peer pressure is a mud, like, because I know a lot of people, like you were saying, that got pregnant at an early age, and I know everybody know that, but I don't know. It's just, I think a child has to have their own maturity, in the back of their mind, like, all right, I already know the consequences. You know, I see it on TV, I see people talk about it. I don't think it's really peer pressure. I think it's a mental thing, because I know when I was in high school, you know, I didn't lose my virginity until I was 17. But
mm-hmm.
when I lost my virginity, it was to an older female, you know. And I don't know. I just didn't have, like, because I was too involved in sports and stuff like that. Like, being involved in activities in school, you know, you should really think about your future and all that. You know what I mean? Instead of thinking about sex and all that, because sex will come, you know. But ain't nobody gonna be a virgin forever. You always gotta look at it like this. Your virginity is not a priority. That is not a priority. That's just an option if you wanna have it or not. And then once you get it, you realize that it don't last as long as your life does, you know. So you mess around, have a kid early in age, you're like, damn, I can't do a lot that I wanted to do in life. But that's all
mm-hmm.
I wanted to say. I don't wanna get all deep into it, you know, all sentimental, but
it's true. It's definitely true. And I'm going to let one other caller on here, too. 843? 843, Erica, ID yourself.
Hey, T, it's Rochelle.
Hey, Rochelle, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. So what you think about the show so far?
I'm liking it. You know, it's a relevant topic. Everybody knows somebody that got either a little cousin, little sister that's pregnant at 15, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was on the news, I think somewhere up in the Midwest, like 180 female students were pregnant out of a school
Chicago.
That's like, in Chicago, yeah, you heard about
yep,
that?
Chicago.
It was like,
mm-hmm.
you would think that's
girls.
You would think that that's a school for girls who are pregnant, but no, it's a regular school, you know?
Yep.
And like, people are seeing it more and more these days. It used to be a walk of shame to walk in at school and you were pregnant, but you know,
mm-hmm.
it's normal now.
But you know
and
what's
like,
so funny? I'm going to tell you, Rochelle, what's funny? At my high school, we had a daycare. So this on the news, I mean, we didn't have 118 girls pregnant, but we had a daycare in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the classes you could take. I was in daycare class in ninth grade, and you fed the babies, you changed their diapers, they taught you how to take care of kids. And what's so funny is that they kept wondering why girls ended up getting pregnant. Well, we're down there all day with babies, and babies are cute, and the girls who have babies get attention. So it ended up just being a cycle. You know what I'm saying? Then, like, you know, a few months later, such and such will pop up pregnant. You know, it's almost like a monkey see, monkey do. Not saying everybody's situation is like that, but it was almost like that at our high school because we had a daycare at our high school.
Me, man.
You know, so it was a trick. They ended up shutting down the daycare a few years ago because it got to the point where so many girls were pregnant. And their whole thing was, well, I got a daycare in my school, so it don't matter. But once they got rid of the daycare, that kind of knocked down, you know what I'm saying? It kind of slowed up the girls from getting pregnant because now you have to find other means of somebody watch your baby. But,
you see,
I saw that case in Chicago.
You have to look at it like there's many reasons why all these girls are getting pregnant. You know, precocious puberty, a lot of people, you know, they're getting puberty younger and younger. They're receiving their period much like around 8 years old. And it's like, why is this happening? Why are these females, like, going through this stage such at an early age? And I think, like, with that factor and the media going sex all in your face, it's not a good combination. And nobody's teaching these females how to deal with their feelings and how to be, you know, respectful. It's not okay for you to be giving your goodies away, like, buy one, get one free. You know, I know these girls. I mean, they really... I remember high school football games were just, like, really, really, really. Like, I remember walking down the stairs and, like, seeing the stairs riddled with condoms, and it's like, are you serious? It's so nasty. I mean,
mm-hmm.
and, like, the girls get the attention from the fellas, and then, you know, the young ladies, they want that attention, so they're like, oh, well, I'm a dress sexy. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And at least...
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
It's definitely true. And I see you, caller 781. I see you, Deb. I'm going to let you in just a second here. I see you raising your hand. But, yeah, it's definitely true. And this is what I wanted to really, the point about this show that I wanted to let people know is that I understand, you know, people are going to get pregnant, point blank. People are going to have kids at young ages, point blank. But what I want to let people know is, A, either don't get yourself into the situation to get pregnant. You know what I'm saying? Learn from me. Learn from, you know, your cousins. Learn from whoever. See their struggle. You know what I'm saying? And don't get yourself into that same situation. Either protect yourself or just don't have sex. But now, let me take it a bit further. So now you decide to have sex and now you're pregnant. what I want girls to realize is just because you have a child at a young age and you're a young mother, don't let anybody put you in a box and make you feel like you can't be shit and that your child ain't going to be shit. Because a lot of people told me that, you know what I'm saying, when I got pregnant, you know, I was young, and a lot of people tried to knock me. But don't let anybody put you in a box. You can still handle your business. You can still get a good job. You can still raise your kids to be respectful, to be hardworking, and God-fearing kids. So don't think because you are a teenage mom, you have to let all your priorities go. You don't have to go to school. You can still handle your business. And that's one thing I want to get across to the young moms out here, is that don't use that as a crutch and don't use it as an excuse to not do the right thing. You know, don't say, oh, well, I had my baby at 15, so, you know, I just can't raise him right. That's just an excuse and that's a crutch, because you can raise your child right. There's no excuse for all these little kids to be on YouTube making these little nasty videos like the little girls who were shaking their butt in the graveyard. I'm sure they probably had young moms, you know, and I just feel like, you know, we have to do better. If you were a young mother, that's all the more reason to step up and raise your child properly, because you know how it was. You know those pitfalls. Am I right or am I wrong, T?
I totally agree, you know. I will say it's definitely, if you're not pregnant or if you're having sex or whatever the case may be, thinking about it, it's definitely a roadblock or a stumbling block that you have to get over. It makes things harder, but you can do it. You can overcome. Excuse me, I have a cold. You can overcome the situation and try to break the cycle and maybe, you know, use your baby for better days ahead. You know, your future, you want to change and, you know, grow and maybe get an education or whatever the case may be that you're lacking, for you and your child to have a better life. You know,
exactly.
So now you just got to step up. You wanted to be a grown-up, now you got to do it.
Exactly, and that's the main thing, you know what I'm saying? You want to be grown, you got the responsibility. Step up. Like I was just saying in the chat room, my son is a straight-A student. He's on the honor roll. I don't play when it comes to him, you know what I'm saying? I talk to him about everything. I'm very open. And my son knows I had him at a young age because I don't look like all the other moms in the class. I don't, you know, I'm not as old as they are, you know, stuff like that. And he's asking me, you know, well, how come, you know, you're so young and my friend's mom is 50? Well, I had you at a young age. I had no business having sex. And I thought I was grown. And, you know, that's what happens when you have sex early. I had you at a young age. I keep stuff very, very honest with my kids because I don't feel like there's no reason to front or sugarcoat anything. I want better for him. So there's no reason to lie to him. You know what I'm saying? But they're calling me milk status. Y'all stop.
The other thing is, too, that I tell females is, you know, when they decide that they're going to bring a life in this world, be it young or whatever age, unfortunately, you know, every man isn't a father.
Exactly.
And you are deciding to bring this child in. That guy might not be there to help you 2 weeks after you tell him you're pregnant. It was fun while y'all was having sex, but you are deciding to bring this child in this world. You have to decide, can I take care of this baby with or without this man? So don't think that getting pregnant is going to keep the guy or,
exactly,
you know, make him be with you or anything like that. So
exactly,
always keep in mind that if you're having sex, you're risking bringing in that child, and are you sure you're able to handle the responsibilities of taking care of a child on your own? Because it can happen. Anything can happen to the guy. He could be there and he could get killed or anything can happen,
mm-hmm,
to where this responsibility is going to fall on you. So are you really able to handle that? You must think about that.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? And we have about 30 minutes left. I want to let my special guest speaker on the line. So let me go ahead and open up her phone line. Hello, area code 781. Is this Ms. Deb?
This is Debbie. How are you?
I'm good. How about you, Debbie?
I'm great, thank you. I was just listening to you guys. I'm loving it. This is a great thing that you have here.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy that you were able to join me. Let me tell y'all a little bit about me and Ms. Debbie, because we did the show last week, and you guys wanted to talk about pregnancy and AIDS and STDs and things like that that come with sex. Now, I can sit up here and preach till I'm blue in the face and say, you know, be careful, there's STDs out there, there's HIV and, you know, things like that. But I don't have that, so I can't speak from that standpoint. And over the weekend, I don't know if it was God or what it was, but something led me to a website, and I started reading people's blogs. It was an HIV/AIDS website, and I started reading people's blogs, and, you know, it just touched me to see that so many people were going through this, and this is real. You know, this is real. Like, people, sometimes it's so easy not to have a face to match to the illness, but people are out here telling their stories, and I had asked people on this site if they wanted to come and share their stories and share their experience. And Debbie was one of them that volunteered to come, so I'm really glad that you were able to join us tonight. And I'm going to give you the floor, and if you could just talk to the people in the chat room and the people listening and let them know what your experience was with sex and everything else.
Absolutely. Any opportunity to get the word out there, you know, I was very young when I became infected. When I seen that you were, and it's funny because when I seen your blog about, you know, hoping to get somebody to call in and everything, I'm an advocate as it is. I live in Boston, and I'm an advocate. I go to schools and I talk to kids, but I've lived with HIV for 17 years now, you know. I was infected when my son was a year old. I was a year right out of high school when I was infected with HIV, and it wasn't something that, you know, I mean, everybody puts the stereotype on it. Well, I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do that. You know what I mean? Like, there are, everybody thinks that, you know, if you're promiscuous, if you do drugs, you know what I mean? Like, those are the people that get it, you know. I was with one guy. It was a faithful relationship. You know, I didn't know he did drugs in his past, and I definitely talked to him about whether or not he had been tested, and because I knew I was tested when I was pregnant with my son, and he said, oh, yeah, I was tested about 6 months ago, and it was negative. Why wouldn't I believe him, you know? I mean, I was with him for months before we even had sex, and, you know, he talked about getting married and stuff. It was, what I didn't realize was, he had known for years that he had it, you know, and there was just, you know, and then he started getting really, after we got intimate and stuff, and, you know, he started getting a little bit nervous that I was going to find out, I think, because, you know, he didn't want me having friends. He didn't want anybody talking to me. He was a little bit older than I was. So, you know, where I grew up, that rumor goes around about everybody, you know what I mean? You know, so when I first started hearing the rumor, I got a little nervous, and I had said something to him. But at this point in the relationship, like, you know, I had moved out of my mother's house, and we had moved in together and stuff. But it was almost as if as soon as I moved in with him, he almost thought that I wasn't going to leave. I wasn't going to go anywhere. So he didn't want me talking to anybody else, hearing anything or, you know, finding out anything. And then he started getting sick. He didn't even get sick. He had a little cut in his finger, and it wouldn't heal, you know. And I'm like, the doctor tells me there's something wrong with my immune system. And then I started getting nervous. What can be wrong with your immune system, you know? And I ended up, you know, I had to kick him out. He had, you know, he had started drinking or whatever. But, you know, and I hate to defend him, you know, because he's not even alive anymore. I hate to defend him, but what I think to myself is that he was so afraid of my finding out that, you know, and anybody finding out, that he just continued to kill himself, you know. Mm-hmm. He ended up going to prison, and I got a call like 2 years later, and I had to, you know, build myself out of the shell. I had a baby. I was young, and I wasn't going to use that for my excuse, you know. So I went back to school. I'm like, I got to get an education. I got to do something for me and my son. And within the first 2 months of my start in college, I got a call from somebody who said he was released from prison early and that he's dying of AIDS. And I was terrified. I cried for months, and I just kept going back because I wasn't sick. There was, you know, you stop thinking of all these stereotypes you think you're going to come across with somebody, or even in yourself. You know what I mean? I would be sick in 2 years. I would have lost weight. I've been to the doctors. I've had tons of blood work, but they don't test your immune system, or they don't test for HIV antibodies unless you ask. Mm. So after crying for months and months, I just had to know. I think the biggest fear for me was just getting sick and dying on my son. You know, that was the scariest thing. Like, I wanted to make sure my son was taken care of. And I went for the test, and I still had to go to school and stuff, you know. Waited 2 weeks. It was like an anonymous test. You can do it confidentially or anonymously. I did it without my name. It was just a barcode. And the 2 weeks later when I went back, they had a silly little contest in school. I don't even remember what it was, but it was October 17th, 1995. I'll never forget the day. And I ended up winning the contest. And what it was we won this, it was a will maker, some kind of software program for a will maker. And I'm like, oh, this is great. This kind of just gave me my answer for tonight, you know? So, I mean, and I have a big supportive family. So my mother and my brother went with me for my results, and I made them wait out in the waiting room. And the guy pulls the paper out, and really, you know, he was really gentle with the whole thing. And you know what? I had spent so many months crying that I just didn't have any tears left. I was more scared of how I was going to tell my family. And when I left, I said, he's like, you know, you want to bring your family in here? And I'm like, no, I'm not telling my family here. I said, you know, I brought my mother out in the parking lot. And she's like, see, Debbie, I told you it was going to be good. Right now we can put this behind us. I'm like, Mom, I want to leave. Let's go. I just wanted to get her out of there. And she just kept following me. It was good, right? And I'm like, Mom, it wasn't good. And you know what? I can't even remember last week half the time, and I will never forget how bad that broke my mother's heart. She collapsed on the ground, and she started screaming and crying and no and why. And I mean, she was at church every day. She was going to my grandmother's gravesite, leaving pictures of me there, just praying to put this behind us. You know what I mean? I will never forget how I hurt my mother that day, how she just thought she was going to watch me die. You know what I mean? And I had so, you know, you always believe that, you know, you're supposed to grow up and get married and, you know, fall in love, get married, have babies. And I no longer felt like I did not want to offer that in life anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't, I wasn't a sexual being anymore. I was just myself. I had to start liking me for me and not, you know, for what I wanted out of life other than being a good mother, taking care of that part of it. I didn't date for like 7 years. I just started enjoying what I had in life and what I was given, you know, between my friends, my family, my son, you know, and I was put on medications immediately. It's not, my immune system wasn't, I didn't know squat about HIV or AIDS. You know, and you know a little bit. This was like the year Magic Johnson came out with HIV. So, you know, it was a little bigger at this year than it had been in the past. You know, it was much more a heterosexual, you know, disease, and it just, you know, it didn't affect certain categories. You know, it was much more open. And but when this, they came out with the triple cocktail and these medications, in, even though, you know, they save a lot of lives, but in the same token, you know, I was deathly sick for 2.5 years on these medications only because the regimen I was on was just so crucial. You know, all I did every day was vomit. I had to take a leave. You know, I ended up finishing school. I had to take care of my son. You know what I mean? Like, even that can't put you in a hole that, poor me, you know, what am I going to do now? Poor me, you know, you still, who else is going to take care of my son and make sure he's a young man, you know? Yeah. So I still finished school and I got a job, but, you know, the medications made me stop being able to work. I must have dropped like 40 pounds the first 2 months I was taking them, and I wasn't much bigger than 140 pounds to begin with, you know? But, you know, I started the medications, I think, in like 96 or 97, and I ended up getting a job, a much better job. I was working in an HIV research department in Boston. So I was loving where I was working, what I was doing, because now I was spending my time with my son at home. And during work, I felt good because I was helping other people with HIV as well. you know, none of them knew that I had HIV. And then after a while, I started to develop lipodystrophy from my medications. And that's like a type of fat distribution. A lot of people, you know, they have a lot of different medical issues from these medications in the long term, you know, whether it be like, you know, heart issues, liver issues, kidney problems. In a lot of people, one of the major side effects is the lipodystrophy. And it's, you know, like I have nothing on my arms and my legs. I used to be a dancer in school. I have no arms and no legs. And everything just kind of accumulated in my abdominal area. You know what I mean? And some people get like a buffalo hump, and it almost looks like a hunchback. You know, I didn't develop that, but the doctor had suggested, you know what, Debbie, why don't, you know, maybe we should just take a break from your medications for a while. And I was terrified because, you know, I went from taking no pills every day to taking like 18 pills a day. And wow. I was terrified to start these pills. And it took me like 2 months just to get started because you can't make a mistake. I can't miss a dose. I can't, you know, forget a dose because the HIV will find a way around it and become resistant to it, and then they won't work. I mean, I've met many people over the years, and there's some amazing things they do with these medications, but you could become infected one time and not be able to take any of the medications. The medications just won't. There are so many different – and that's what some people don't realize is that, well, I've already put myself at risk, so what's – you know what I mean? What am I going to do now? Mm-hmm. If I sleep with somebody who has HIV, I'm putting myself at risk of getting a worse strain of HIV, you know?
I didn't even know that.
Exactly.
Wow.
A lot of people don't know that, you know, and that's a big mistake. So, you know, that's one of the major things I like to, you know, some people think, and I know I was one of them when I was a teenager, you know, I've already put myself at risk. What's the difference? What am I going to do now? What you're going to do now is save yourself now, you know. You can't, I can't be with somebody even unprotected who has HIV, you know. So that's like a major thing. You know, it's never too late, even when you think you've heard the worst news in the world, it's never too late to make yourself, you know, to do the right thing and head in the right direction and not look back, you know. But I've been able to take a break from my medications. I actually, you know, with just being friends with everybody, I started dating this one guy years ago, and we got married, and we knew we couldn't have kids, you know, and it wasn't in our cards, and that was fine. You know, we were just, you know, and he was negative. He didn't have HIV, and he knew I did, because that's, you know, that's not the reason why I didn't date. I didn't want to put somebody I cared about in that predicament, you know? And then we started hearing, you know, comments about people having babies and stuff. There was women coming into the clinic who was, you know, unfortunately testing positive with their pregnancies. And, you know, by the grace of God and, you know, the medical miracles, I also have a 5-year-old son. So, and he's healthy.
Oh, wow.
I had to wait until he was a year old before he can have his HIV test. He's HIV negative. I've been off my medication since he was born. And, you know, my son is 17 years old. He's going to college next year. But I remember when he was 5 and I was horribly sick from my medications. And I always told him that I had a germ. I didn't want to tell him the name of it, you know. And, I said, you know, Mommy, I have a germ in my blood. I said, you know, if Mommy gets sick, if Mommy's bleeding, you have to make sure I clean it and cover it before you come over to make sure I'm okay. And he would always talk to me about it. And one day when I was really sick and I picked him up from school, and he said, you know, I was talking to my friends today, Mom, and I was wondering, are you going to be alive when I'm 16? And it broke my heart to hear my little boy say that to me. And I didn't want to lie to him, you know, because he knew I was sick. And I said, you know what, Christopher, I said, if I'm not here when you're 16, I said, Nana and Auntie Jeanette will take really good care of you, but I'll do whatever I can to be here. So, of course, he turned 16 last year, and I was probably the biggest blubbering baby in the house. But, and I, you know, reminded him what he said to me, and he's like, oh, I don't want to do anything for my birthday. And it was really more of a big deal to me than it was to him, you know.
Because you didn't think you would see him turn 16.
I didn't think I would, and if I did, I didn't think I'd be healthy enough. I still work full time. You know, I'm able to get go crazy with my kids, you know, walk the dog, you know, feed the cat. You know what I mean? I mean, I got a house full of animals, including my kids, but I love them to death, you know. But I'm blessed with every bit of it, you know, and unfortunately, you know, it's been almost 17 years that I've been infected with HIV. I've been off my meds since Jacob was born, but my HIV is starting to take a turn. My virus is starting to increase, and my immune system is starting to go down. So I have, within the last couple of weeks, gone back on my medications to kind of, you know, reverse things a little bit, you know. And I was, I was terrified of the side effects again, you know, like I didn't know. I know what I started with years ago, and it was nonstop vomiting all day. You know, nothing was good. I turned completely yellow. I was, you know, I was 25 years old, and I thought to myself I looked like I had AIDS, you know. So, but, you know, it's, and the thing I always tell the kids when I go to the schools, I always tell the teenagers, I don't even want to say kids because they're way past kids, you know what I mean? They're young, they're young adults, you know. But I always tell them, you know, if you, if you're okay to, you know, if you think you're ready to have sex with somebody, then you should be okay, for one, to have that conversation with them before you do anything. And that conversation is not enough. You know, if you feel secure enough to not use anything, then you should feel secure enough in your relationship to walk into a clinic together. And, you know what I mean? And to take the precautions. Absolutely, to take the precautions to, you know, to discuss it, you know, like even adults my age are uncomfortable talking about sex. And I've come to learn that talking about it is so, it opens up the relationship and gives your self-esteem such a better empowerment. You know what I mean? You feel so much better about yourself. And once that first sentence rolls off your tongue, you can't take it back. You know what I mean? That's the hardest part, is just opening the door to it, you know. And that's one of the biggest things I always try to get out to the kids is, you know, once they talk about it, they're going to feel differently than just thinking it by themselves, than just assuming, you know, that he doesn't have anything or she doesn't have anything. Maybe they don't know, you know.
Yeah, and that's the scary part.
Absolutely, you know, that's the one thing that they have to remember is, you know, and a lot of people I meet, even now, they're so busy with, it's his fault, it's her fault, she did this, she knew. But even if, you know, even the guy that I was with, he knew for like 10 years, I found out later that he had it, and I'm responsible to take care of me, you know, it's, I should have made sure that there was protection there. You know, I can't say it's his fault that I have to live with this because he lives in his own world. He don't live in mine, you know. So it's, you know, it's important to, you know, it gives you that self-esteem to talk about it, but he is not going to take care of you and she is not going to take care of you. Only you can take care of yourself. And you could, anybody who doesn't know is quickly going to say, of course I don't have it. You know what I mean? It's very rare you'll find somebody who says, I don't know, I might. It's very rare, you know? Yeah. So you can't, you can point the blame game forever, but it's only you who has to live with it. And the longer you, you know, live pointing at somebody about it, it's not going to do your body any good, you know? It's totally up to, and who's to say a young woman should be ashamed that she has the condom? You know what I mean? So what if anybody thinks anything of you because you have it on you? That should mean that you care that much about yourself that you want to make sure, you know?
Exactly. Ms. Deb, I'm gonna keep you on the line. We have about 10 minutes left, but we can still sit and talk on the phone. Because I want to ask you some questions, and then you guys will be able to listen to the show on the archives. But I want to take two more people that just called in, but you stay on the line with us, okay?
Okay, I'd love to hear.
It's
Thanks.
A private number. Private number, I'm letting you open. Who is this?
Hi, it's Alex.
Hi, Alex.
Are you in the chat room?
I enjoy the show immensely. It's a great show.
Oh, good. Thank you. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah, one thing I just wanted to add is that the key ingredient that's missing in many of these equations is the presence of nigger chicken. It's chicken marinated in nigger sauce. But
he sounds stupid as hell. We going to disconnect him. Next.
Yeah.
704 area code.
Thank you.
Okay, somebody wanted attention.
Wow.
704 area code.
Wow. I mean, really?
Hello? Right?
Hello? There's another seven. Hello, who is 704?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Who is this, Moni?
No, this is Alex.
Oh. See, when he said, okay, I know, everybody's just, okay. Hey, Alex, what are you thinking of the show?
Hey,
that
really
man's gone. The man who called in with that, you're going to hell. Thank you.
I'm really speechless from what I just heard.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Cleo. We will never take another private call.
Mm-hmm.
Sure won't.
Wow.
Okay. Go ahead. Say what you're gonna
No, I just want to I just want to add some things. The young lady that was just talking, I think her name was Debbie.
Yeah.
She touched on really good points. We as women should not be afraid to bring up that topic or
right.
to have, condoms in our pocket. Or, I know me personally, I've been in, a relationship now for 5 years. But when me and my husband first got together, that was the first thing that came out of my mouth before we were ever intimate.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't respect yourself and, respect your life and just respect your partner in that matter, then you just don't need to be intimate, period. And that's just my feeling about it. I told him, before we are intimate, we both need to go and get tested together.
Mm-hmm.
We can do this together. If you get an attitude or if you feel a certain way about what I said, then me and you don't need to be together. I feel like you're hiding something. So
mm-hmm.
if you're serious about being with me and being in this committed, open relationship, then you should not have a problem saying, okay, baby, let's go down here together. We went together. We both got tested. As soon as we got tested, got our results. We were not intimate prior to getting our results. Period. And that was just my preference. When we got our results, we sat down with one another. We put our results on the table. Both of us looked at each other's results. And we went from
mm-hmm.
there.
Good for you. But
if you, I'm sorry.
That's good. That's great for you. Yeah.
Right. But if
yeah.
you have to be, and I talk to a lot of young women and a lot of younger women than me because I'm 30, not that I'm very old. But I still try to educate a lot of, our younger sisters and, just younger people in general to get them more educated, to get them more confident. You can't be sleeping around this day and age. And,
right.
Just if you do take that route, be smart about it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's going to do their own thing, but just be smart about it, protect yourself and, love yourself more than that. And, I just
exactly.
wanted to call in and,
now, we got about. I want y'all to stay on the line because we're going to talk to Miss Deb in the archives. So all y'all just stay on the line so we can, ask her a few more questions. I'm going to let somebody else come in. Area code 248. And don't call in with no nonsense. Who is area code 248?
You know what? Maybe if you bitches didn't fuck every nigga that came around. Then.
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
Wrong.
Right?
People have some serious issues, like real talk. He got blocked.
Because that man
okay.
must know everything, and, he's got
exactly.
it. So, yeah, all wrapped up, I'm
like,
sure.
I've never had no drama come to my show. We talk about HIV, AIDS, and all the damn races come out. What is the big deal? AIDS
right.
affects every race, black, white, Asian. So, I'm not understanding what all this drama is about. But, you better hope all the mess that you're talking, you better hope you don't get infected because you don't know what death you might have.
That's
so I
right.
Tom down calling my show talking mess. You don't know. You might be walking around with the HIV virus. Would you want to
mm-hmm.
sit here and thumb your nose down to other people?
But that's
it's a colorless disease.
That's why he's saying that.
And I know they're still in the chat room being nosy. It's a colorless disease. Anybody can get HIV. So if people are trying to make it seem like it's a black disease or a white disease, right. that's foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can contract it. And that's
right.
the problem now. We're so busy looking down
disease.
At other people. You know what I'm saying? If you've been out there, if you've had unprotected sex, you put yourself at risk. You cannot
right.
look down at anyone else. You put yourself
Even
at
once.
Risk.
Right.
Exactly. And
right.
that's the point why I wanted to, you know, have the show. Like, you know, everyone has put themselves at risk at one point in time. If you've had a pregnancy
right.
scare, if you've, you know, become pregnant, if the condom has broken, whatever, you're putting yourself at risk.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is, don't judge. It could have been you instead of Miss Deb with HIV. I could have
mm-hmm.
been in her situation. The next man could have been in her situation. So it's easy to sit on your high horse and talk mess. But real talk, if you've had raw sex with anyone, male or female, so don't get it twisted. A lot of guys are running around here on the DL. You can have it. You don't
mm-hmm.
know what's in your system right now. So unless you're getting tested on a regular basis, do not point your finger.
Right, right. I'm sure he's here.
So I have area code 773 on the line. I open your mic, 773.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yes,
Philosophos
only. How y'all doing?
Hey. Good. How about you?
Hi.
Cool.
Yeah, I enjoyed the show. It's a great, great, great broadcast you got going on tonight. Yeah, see, it's a TV, you know, this media and whatnot, the Tellite Vision, Racist Vision, from the New World Order that is one of the biggest blames for children having children and children getting AIDS and HIVs and STDs more than ever before because sexual immorality has been made cool and okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
parents and their grandparents and so on and so forth, all the way back to ancestors or whatever, we dropped the ball. You know, those of us that's older, that's adults now, that's not children anymore, our generation and beyond have dropped the ball, you know, severely, unfortunately. And we're paying the price for that. You know, the babies coming up now are not babies no more. You know, they, you know, doing adult things, trapped in teenage bodies and preteen bodies now. And the Bible warned us, you know, God tried to warn us himself when he said to flee fornication. You know, we didn't want to listen. You know, we let them have their way with the television set and this internet and this radio, the hip-hop music, the R&B music. All of this entertainment is the biggest blame along with lack of parenting skills, the reason why we are where we are today, top of the list for AIDS and HIV and STDs and whatnot. And other diseases that come from sex, fornication, and adultery that you can't even get rid of, that they don't even come out with, they don't even know the names of yet, you know. Fortunately, I didn't get AIDS and HIV after knowing better, coming up in church and whatnot, being taught the right way to wait until you get married and whatnot. I rebelled, was hard-headed. At the age of 20, almost 21, when I lost my virginity, you know, I could have kept going, you know, until I got married, you know. If I waited that long past the teenage cycle, you know, and all that, you know.
So what are you saying? You waited till you got married?
Huh?
You waited till you got married?
No, I wish I had waited until I got married. I could have kept going.
Oh, so, right. I mean, you are just lucky that you didn't get infected
yeah.
then, right?
I was extremely lucky that I didn't get affected.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know,
so it had nothing to do with, you know, going to church and what your parenting was. It had to do with being lucky.
Well, I didn't
right.
have no father in the home either, you know. That played a
right.
role in it, too.
So you're right.
Now,
you were lucky.
50, we have about 50 seconds left. So the show is going to be over for you guys in the chat room. We're going to stay on the line with Ms. Deb and keep on talking and, you know, just answering some questions. So we'll probably talk for about another 30 minutes. So you guys will be able to listen to our conversation on the archives. But I'll still be in the chat room if y'all want to talk with me back and forth in the chat room. So we can just keep going here. So
but
now,
you
what
know
were
what?
You saying, Ms. Deb? Uh-huh. Or who was
you,
that?
You
know,
you know
what? With that being said, I don't know if anyone has ever seen that movie Cover.
Has anyone seen
yes.
that movie?
Yes.
I watched it.
It was filmed in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I
you know, my thing is, you know, you just never know. You know, honestly, you know, like I said, me and my husband, we've been together for 5 years now. But to be honest, we still get tested. I get tested, you know, I get my, you know, most women get yearlies. I get mine, I get a patch every, I get a patch twice a year. I get mine every 6 months. That's just my preference, you know. I would never say, oh, he would never. I would never say that. All I can say is I hope he would never.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can never be too careful. I'm sorry, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Love has no color. Love has no, you know, whatever. And that's just who I am and how I am. And, you know, we as people in general, I'm not even going to say we as women, because we as people in general just need to be a little more careful and a little more, you know, knowledgeable and, you know, care a little more about ourselves as an individual to go out here and get tested and, you know, stay safe as you possibly can, you know, because just like in that movie cover, she had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
She had no idea.
Right.
Thank you for saying that. I was thinking that, and as I was agreeing with Debbie, because like she said, you have to take responsibility for yourself, because there's a type of group that you can say, you know, contracted it. You can contract it, like you said, by being with somebody, marriage or not. You know, you can only hope that that person is going to stay loyal and truthful to you. But there are cases, and lots of them, where the husband or the wife stepped out and brought it back in, and or the boyfriend or girlfriend stepped out or brought it back in, or it was the first time. You know, there's all type of different, you know, cases of how people contracted it. So, you know, don't point your finger or don't try to put people, stereotype people and say all the people that contracted, you know, are dirty or, you know, loose or anything like that. Like you said, Miss Debbie, he was just lucky. You know, you were just lucky, because we all could get it, and we could get it from any angle.
That's right.
Get it from your parents.
I mean, you could be with somebody for months and wait to be with them and, you know, be in love, and you could be engaged, and that don't matter. You know, they either don't know or they won't tell, you know?
And unfortunately,
that's the mentality that people have, and that's why I wanted to do this show. And I'm so grateful that you called in and shared your story. You know, that's the mentality people have, that it's always those people or somebody else, or, you know, she's a chicken head, so she probably got it, or, you know, he's a thug, he might have it. But it can just be the straight-A student, like, again, who may have contracted it from his parents. You know, he was born with AIDS. You got kids who have blood transfusions. You know what I'm saying? You can get it from that. So, you know, you never know somebody's situation, so for you to sit on a high horse and think, oh, it would never happen to me. You know, I'm in church every day, or, you know, I pray every day. You just never know. And that's the point. You have too many kids out here thinking they're grown, and they're not realizing, you know what I'm saying, that every decision, for every decision you make, there's a reaction. You know, some of it is good and some of it is negative. It's real out here, you know. People need to wake up and quit pointing fingers and saying, you know, and assuming. You can't assume, and that's the scary part about AIDS, is you cannot look at someone and just say, oh, he has AIDS or she has AIDS. You can't tell.
Right.
You're not going to meet someone with AIDS tattooed on their forehead.
Right.
Right.
You know?
I mean, and the other thing is, you know, you can't get it from a blood transfusion anymore. You know, I do know a few people who have, but that is a super long time ago, you know. And I know when my sister had her baby, they were talking about she lost so much blood, they wanted to give her a transfusion, and she's like, I'm not taking anybody else's blood, you know, like that. Yeah, there are probably other things you can get, you know what I mean? But that is, HIV is the one thing that is majorly screened now. I mean, like, even if you was to give blood, if HIV did pop up in your blood, whether or not you wanted to know that answer, they're going to call you and tell you, you know, that it's there and that you can't give blood anymore, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and that's, and another misfactor that people have is, you know, this whole stigma about it taking 5 or 10 years to pop up in your blood. You know, that's another thing I want to get out there is that, you know, if you have an exposure within 3 to 6 months, no longer than that will it show up after that. You know what I mean? You know, that's, you know, people used to say to me, well, I'm not going to get tested because it could show up in 5 or 10 years. Even my mother-in-law is that way, you know, and it's not like that anymore, because that's why a lot of people are too afraid to get tested, because they think, I'm not going to test myself for the next 10 years, you know? No. I mean, it has been shown that 12 weeks is a definitive answer, but, you know, there are rare cases where if the person is going through, like, chemo or some type of immunosuppressed issues, it could take 6 months, but it takes no longer than that. So that's, you know, that's an important part that I, you know, and people need to know that too, you know?
And you know what, T, I'm really glad you did this show, because, you know, our young adults out here that are sexually active, they definitely need to be more aware and more careful. I know personally one of my best girlfriends, her niece is only 16 years old, and she has herpes.
Right.
And she's mad. So, you know, she goes around and she says, I'm going to sleep with every guy that I don't like because I'm going to give them herpes.
Right.
Come on. And I told her, and my girlfriend told her, you're going to say that around the wrong person. Their brother may have been with you, and with you saying that, you're going to get yourself killed. Period.
Right, right.
You know, but that's her. Yeah. She's mad. She's mad at the world. It's like, I'm going to sleep with everybody I don't
but
like.
It was,
I'm going to kill them.
Yeah, but there's
this,
no personal responsibility. You mad at the world, but, okay, what did you do to protect yourself?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it was herpes this time, but it can be something else next time.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. It could be something much worse next time, you know, and there are a lot of people who have HIV who are under that anger category, that figure, you know, somebody did this to me, so I'm going to do this to somebody else too, you know? And, you know, granted, you do get it from somebody, but nobody did this to you but you.
Right.
You know, I mean, I can sit here and blame the guy who gave it to me all I want, but in all actuality, it was me who did this, you know? I didn't force him to wear a condom. I didn't insist that we get tested together. And yeah, it was, you know, it was something that totally, you know, that blinded love thing. And I was very, you know, I was a kid and I wasn't using my head before that heart thing, you know, and it's okay to follow your heart as long as you remember that your heart and your head have to go together, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You're right about that. I mean,
and the number one, and the number one category of people with new diagnosis are between the ages of 18 and 25. So the people being, testing positive are, you know, the young adults today, you know, and the ones who assume they're going to know what it looks like, you know, and that's the scariest part of it.
Yeah. And see, and that's what upsets me, like, with the, I mean, not always to go back on the media, but the media is so demonic and powerful. I'm sorry, so I always have to go back to it because those images that we see are so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what irritates me with these rappers and with these entertainers. It's like they put sex out there like it's so cool. Like, we were talking about Trey Songz earlier, that song that he has out talking about, what is it called? Something sex. But he has this really, you know, soft porn video, but not one time, you know, do you guys ever think about using a condom, you know, waiting for the right person, going to get tested. The only time you hear about them talking about going to get tested is during AIDS, you know, during AIDS, HIV month. And it's like, you know, what about the rest of the year? So we only get tested in, I don't know what month it is, and I apologize, but, I mean, we only get tested in that 1 month. Okay, well, what about the following month? What about 6 months from now?
Right.
You know,
right.
All about
the rest of the months, you know, right. The other 11 months, you know.
Yeah. You know, it's really, really unfortunate and sad. You know, like a lot of people aren't taking it seriously. And that's why I wanted to have that, you know, the show tonight, just to wake people up. Like, it's real.
It's real, mm-hmm. you know. And like I told you, I don't know anyone personally in my personal life. You know, I'm sure there's people in my life who have HIV/AIDS, but
right.
they've never come out to me and said I have it. So
right.
that's the thing is that you don't know who has it. You know,
right.
you know, they may not even know they have it. So you have to be extra cautious. You have to protect yourself. You know, you have
yep.
to look at it like, okay, well, instead of just saying, well, he's cute or, you know, he's hung like a horse, well, no,
yep.
he might have, you know, he might have AIDS. You have to start
right.
looking at it like that. You
right,
know, instead of
right.
just looking at people at face value, you have to start looking like, you know, what if that beautiful, sexy, big booty girl, you know, has AIDS?
Mm-hmm. Right,
you know?
Right.
And that's how we have to change the mind frame. We really
you
do.
Know, yeah, almost all the patients that I've met at the clinic, you know, a good 95% of them are very healthy looking people, you know. And a lot
mm-hmm.
of people assume they're going to look sick or they'll be in and out of the doctors. And it's just not that way, you know. It's not going to slap you in the face or give you some kind of major red flag. It's not going to do that, you know. And that's what people
yeah.
assume they're going to come across.
Yeah, we got to make fornication
yeah.
and adultery uncool again. We got to make fornication and adultery taboo again, because see, it's too cool right now. It's too popular. We got to
right.
make fornication and adultery unpopular, especially to the children who are about to be teenagers and whatnot. Before
mm-hmm.
they get their teenage years, with the hormones raging and changing and whatnot, and they not having to understand what's going on in their bodies and whatnot. We have to make this fornication and this adultery totally uncool.
Right.
The extreme
yeah.
opposite of what it is right now in real life, on TV, in the movies, on the internet,
right.
on the radio. That with
and
the old-fashioned parenting, old-fashioned parenting, what we used to see, has to come back in full force. Okay.
You're right. And I'm glad that you said adultery. For lost souls, because a lot of people don't realize too that, you know, yeah, it's cool to not be faithful no more.
Yeah.
It's like, who is faithful? You know what I'm saying? Like, when you
yeah.
watch the media and you see all these celebrities, you know, well, such and such is married, but now he's keeping with this girl, and they have pictures of such and such coming out the hotel. It's like,
right.
you know, we are living in a society where marriage is a joke. If,
right.
you know, to be faithful, oh, you got a wife. They just say you have a wife or a husband just to say it, but not, you know, not with none of the responsibilities that come with having a wife or a husband. You know,
right.
so you got people who, you know, I'm married and my man this, and I, you know, I ain't got to work, but I got a man, but you screwing the boss. Okay, well, what is the point of you, you know, going off on this whole school about you having a husband if you're not faithful to him anyway?
Mm-hmm.
So you are definitely right about that. The media and society makes it cool to be unfaithful. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're a sucker if you got one girl. You're supposed to be out here, you know, screwing every female that walks by. And we do have to change that mentality, especially with our, you know, with the younger kids, because you have little boys out here at 9 and 10 trying to be pimps. You
yeah.
know, and it's like, it's
mm-hmm.
not cool, because a lot of pimps are dying from AIDS. People don't realize it, but it's true. You know,
right.
so it's like, you need to try and be yourself and stop trying to be like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
You know, the most
yeah.
stimulating relationship is the one where the communication is wide open and you guys, it's a best friendship, you know. I mean, that is the best relationship you can have, you know, where the communication is wide and, you know, that's better than any intimacy you can have with somebody, you know. And that's
mm-hmm.
what, you know, that's what everybody seems to forget, you know, that's and miss out on, you know.
If it's wrong, it's extremely popular. If it's
mm-hmm.
right, it's extremely unpopular. We have to totally flip that script and change it right now, or all of us going to be dead in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as
You're
an
right.
African race and whatnot, you know.
You're right. Well,
it's already
as human society. As human
mm-hmm.
society, you know, regardless of race, as just, you know, human beings, you know what I'm saying? We all got to change that mind frame, because it's a lot of us out here walking around, you know, dead spiritually. Spiritually, mentally,
right.
you just, you know, like it's like a land of the walking dead. It's like people don't
wow.
care. You have people out here who just have no respect for themselves. I mean, I look at some of the pictures that pop up on the internet. You know, you have little girls out here walking around with no panties on, you know, people
right.
fingering them in the club. I mean, it's just like we're just so free with it. It's like don't nobody care no more. You
mm-hmm.
know, there was a point in time where at some point in time, even if you were having sex at an early age,
it was like a modesty, and you were almost embarrassed, and it was like sneaking around, and oh,
right.
my God, my parents won't find out. But now
right.
little girls bring, you know, their boyfriends home and screw them on the couch, and if mommy walks in, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
so it's like, it is. It's
There's no shame in it. Right, right.
Yeah. And now you have the mom. You have the moms out here hooking up their daughters. You know, well, you screw him, and I'm going to screw his uncle. And, you know, and it's like they're both out here sleeping with guys for, you know, concert tickets. And, you know, it's crazy.
Yep.
So you
yep.
have a lot of moms out here dropping the balls, too, when it comes to them raising their daughters properly.
Right, right.
I
yeah.
wanted to, hello?
Uh-huh.
I wanted to say thank you for coming and talking and giving, like, a message of hope because, like, I can imagine if I had received the news that I contracted HIV and, you know, I would feel like my life is over. But, you know, hearing
right.
somebody talk about it and, like, I think, like, people, we need to make, like, it's, like,
yeah.
such a ill factor when you hear somebody has HIV. Like, they're, like, making
right.
it a taboo and want to make you guys outcast. But I think.
Right. Well, like, it's almost as if, you know, it's still, like, you know, the Walking Dead almost, you know what I mean? And you're right, you know, and I'm glad I've seen the message that you guys are having this tonight and that I have this opportunity, you know, because it is something I want people to be afraid of, but not to the point where, you know, if it happens, you assume it's a death sentence either, you know. There is hope, but I'd rather you not have to be, to try to even look for the hope, you know.
Exactly.
Or to, you know, to
way.
Feel hopeless. Absolutely, you know, there is, you know, and some people will hear it and think, you know, a lot of people think, gosh, I would die if I ever heard that. I would know my life is over, you know, and if they've put themselves at risk already, they'd be too afraid to even find out, you know. And that's the part of it I want, you know, I want them to hear is that it's not over. I mean, I was infected in 93. I don't want to at all say, geez, you can live with it. You know what I mean? I don't want to at all get that message across. But, you know, because you don't have to be on this side of the fence either, you know. And even if you think you did put yourself at risk, there's no better way to protect your future by starting to protect yourself now and getting tested. And, you know, there are plenty of things that they're doing now to, you know, and the medications do suck, you know, I mean, but I don't want any young adult or any person to feel like, oh no, I would never get tested because I just, and that's, you know, a lot of people assume, they're like Walking Dead, you know, like you're alive, but you're actually, you know, you have a death sentence over you. You know, it is something that they can treat. Right. They can treat it, but, you know, you don't have to, you know, go on that side of the, you know, that side of the
See,
road.
And what I think, too, is that what people can get away from tonight's show that I really want them to get away from it is regardless if you are a teen mom, I don't care if you have a baby at 12. You can still make something of yourself. And that's
Absolutely.
Why I want to have the show. And like you said, you contracted HIV/AIDS when you were 18. And it's 17 years later. You didn't make excuses. You didn't just lay down and die. You still
right.
went to school. You still handled your business. So if anyone can take anything away from this show, is that regardless of your circumstances,
right.
regardless of what life throws at you, you can still handle your business and be a good person. Because
right.
at the end of the day,
right.
that's what matters. You
yep.
know, and
I
it's
mean,
just
I
too many
young single mom,
now,
yep.
Yeah, and, you know, too many excuses. You have people out here, you know, they have an excuse for everything. I have gout, so I have to drop out, you know what I'm saying? So I can't work. You know, I'd rather just sit on Social Security and just, you know, collect a check all day. But then you have people out here, like you said, you have AIDS, you still have it your business, you went to school, you did what you had to do.
Right.
That's all there is to it. So now if you're healthy and there's nothing wrong with you and you have no children, what is your excuse for hanging on the corner?
That's right. That's
Can
right.
Can I get an amen?
Right, amen, right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
There's nothing wrong with you. You have no mouth to feed. Why are you broke?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Why, you know, why are you struggling so hard? Why can't
right.
you manage your money? Why can't we do better as a people? It's the truth. You know, you
right.
have people who are afraid of facing adversity out here, but you're doing okay for yourself. So there's
right.
really no more excuses. Now the excuses are just bullshit because you're hearing stories from Ms. Deb, you're hearing stories from me, you're hearing stories from T. You can go through stuff and still handle your business. There's no excuse for failure.
That's right.
Point blank.
That's right.
If
that's
you fail
right.
yourself, that's your fault. Don't blame the white man. Don't blame
right.
your parents. Blame yourself.
Right, right. I mean, you can, you're right. You can be wherever you want to be. I mean, now, you know, I have two boys, you know, a dog, a cat. I'm in my own place. I'm no longer married, but I work full-time. You know what I mean? Like, there's food in my fridge. You know, my kids are taken
yeah.
care of. My kids got what they need. I have, you know, and anybody could sit in the corner and say, you know, well, this happened to me. That's why I can't. No, this, you know, yeah, maybe that's what happened to you. You know, that's what happened to me 17 years ago, and that sucked at that time, but I can't sit and dwell on that, you know, because that's not, you can say I want all these good things out of life, but the only person who's going to get them is you, you know.
You're right.
Nobody's going to hand them to you.
You gotta go and get. A lot of people have definitely come from, people need to realize, you know, nobody has necessarily walked in the same exact steps or path as the next person, or can even say, I know your struggle, but I know a struggle, you know,
exactly.
And if somebody else can do it, you know, why can't you, or why can't
right.
I, you know, so
right.
that blame game of blaming others for your circumstances, or I had, bad parenting when I was a kid, or my dad or my mom wasn't there, or I lived in the ghetto, or whatever your, you know, whatever the sad story may be, you know,
right.
use that as a stepping stone to overcome and show people behind you and coming up behind you and your children and things like that, that, hey, I did this for us, you know, we can do better, you know,
right.
I'm one. And there can be another, just like I did, you can do too. And I mean, if you got to show people how you did it, hey, you know, help people. Because
mm-hmm.
just like you got, just like you struggled to get where you are, you know, somebody helped you at some point.
That's
who
right.
Didn't
that's right.
To, you know, reach
but you
out
have
and help
to take
others.
That hand that you see reached out to you. You know what I mean? You can't
mm-hmm.
just brush everybody's, you know, help aside and say, you know, I'm a tough, you know, I'm a tough chick. I can do this on my own or whatever. You know, I'm a big boy. You know, you got to take that hand and accept someone's help, you know. And, you know, if you had struggles, that's even more of a reason why you should want to be in a better place and, you know, continue to follow what you want and, you know, be there, you know. Just keep
yeah.
following what you enjoy and, you know, not, you know, just sitting in that rut, you know.
You're definitely right about that. You're definitely
mm-hmm.
right. You know, there's no excuses. There's no excuses. The information is out there. You know, the whole AIDS situation is not getting better. It's getting worse. So there's no
right.
excuses to be out here not protecting yourself. You know,
mm.
if you're not, you know, don't trust that, you know, you may be in a monogamous relationship, but that dude that you're screwing, he may not. You may be
that's
the only person
right.
in the relationship faithful. So it's like, don't put yourself at risk for no man. If you're going to choose to have sex, you have to protect yourself because there's too much stuff out here. You know,
mm-hmm.
so it's like, if you can keep yourself out of a situation like Ms. Deb is in, that's what she's saying. But if you find yourself in that situation, there is life, you know.
Right.
It doesn't mean that you have to kill yourself or go infect everyone you know with HIV because you're mad. Because like you
right.
said, people do that too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is life. So it's like you have to, you know, take the good with the bad. But if you can prevent from, you know, having to go through those hardships, learn from other people's mistakes. You don't have to repeat them.
Right. That's
you know,
right.
why go through the same hardship? You see your cousin struggling because she was a mother at 16. You know, learn
mm-hmm.
from that. Don't
right.
go down the same path because it's not easy being a teen mom. It's definitely not. So it's like, you know, learn from that. Learn from those who came before you and, you know, and handle your business.
That's right.
As simple as that.
That's right.
It really is. You know, but I want to thank everyone who came through tonight and called in and help with the show, and I really appreciate you for calling in and sharing your story. I know I wasn't sure if you could see in the chat room, but I mean, a lot of people were in tears. They had sad faces. I mean,
oh,
they were really touched. Yeah,
I did have the page open, but I went in the other room. Yeah, good. I'm glad there was a lot of
witnesses. Yeah, it was a lot of wilds and oh my God. And
yeah,
I mean,
right?
this story touched a lot of people in there. You know, they were shocked because at first they thought, oh, it was just another caller. Then when I told them, you know, calm down and listen once you start your story, a lot of people, I think a lot of people are going to walk away with something from the show because a lot of people really enjoyed it. So, you know,
you do a really good thing. I'm glad you keep doing what you're doing. And you know what? You got a fan over here in Boston, too, now. So I'm going to keep touching base with the website and the blog site here and see what's going on.
I definitely will. I'm going to still come on there because I've made a few friends. I didn't know nobody with AIDS, and now I know some people. I've made some friends on the site. And
we're
all
a bunch of
hottest
people.
So.
Yep. Good, good. Well, I'm glad you had me. Good. Well, I'm glad you had me on, and, you know, anytime you need anything, honey, I would be more than glad to talk.
All right. I would definitely do that. I really, really appreciate it, and everyone who's still on the line, thank you guys for staying on the line, and I apologize for the crazy people that got through, but, you know, it happens sometimes, but
that's
it's cool
right.
because it just made, you know, it just showed people how ignorant people are of
the disease.
And, you know, you keep on living in your ignorance, sometimes that ignorance can come back to bite you. So, you know, it is what it is.
Right.
So I'm going to go ahead. We're going to go ahead and end this show here because we're about 2 hours into the show. But, again, I want to thank everyone who called in and who was in the chat room. And join me again next Thursday. We'll decide a topic and we'll go from there. All right. Good night, everybody.
All right.
Thanks. Take care. Bye.
All right. Bye.
God bless you. Calling all that.
Bye.
God bless.
Thanks, bye.
Bye.